Welcome back to the Full 90 Soccer Time podcast. We still exist, and we're not about hockey, but we are about space wieners. Hang out. Our weekly look at the Seattle Sounders FC... Well, weekly is a stretch. Our weekly look at the Seattle Sounders... Our sometimes look at the Seattle Sounders FC, nerdy soccer culture, fan outrage, and cutting Eastern Washington commentary in an attempt to understand the hottest soccer league, I guess sort of funded by foreign royalty... MLS. We're your hosts. I'm from Mornings on 107.7 The End. I'm Gregor, and he's been in the locker room on the pitch and in the stats booth. It's since booth.
Boof.
Boof.
Beefa. Boofa.
Whatever. He's Brandon.
Hi.
You can see we've gotten better since our long break.
I like how it's like our weekly, okay, no, sometimes look, into the Seattle Sounders, okay, I mean like also other things like sumo, nerdy soccer culture, I mean nerdy everything culture at this point. We got to change the entire intro at this point.
Hey, here's a podcast. It's sometimes about soccer. There you go. Do us a quick solid, click on through to Apple Podcasts, give us a rating.
Definitely 5 stars.
But primarily, leave us a comment. We want to know your favorite ever Seattle Sounders FC player.
Yeah, from, and I was not expecting to write this today, but from Nico Benezé to Jimmy Bedronda.
I'm going to call him Tina Benezé after that Tina dance that he did after the goal.
Oh, it was so good. I mean, this guy has been like one of those journeyman MLS players for a while, you know, that like just... exists and plays. He's kind of like a not to slight our buddy Brad Evans, but like Brad Evans was never, I mean, he played for the U.S. national team, so I don't know. Yeah. But Brad Evans was never like the guy for a team, right? Like,
he's not. You have Christian Pulisic, which is the big name, the hope of America's future, sure. Republicans, and then you have Brad Evans, who is a guy who is like a
good enough
favorite,
right?
And he's a like, favorite, and he plays for the national team, and he's a big deal, but. No one's pinning their hopes of the future of the American soccer game on Brad Evans.
Or even the Sounder. It wasn't like the Sounders at any point. Like, Brad Evans has a bad game. They can.
I put the entire franchise on Brad Evans' shoulders.
Just I so put it know. on his head and shoulders, because look at that hair. He's Ooh, got some boy. Good hair right now. But Nico Benezé is just one of those. He's kind of like Nico Benezé, Shane O'Neill, Jimmy Madrona, these guys that were kind of like okay for other teams and then come to Seattle and like. Jimmy Madrona plays amazingly well for the Sounders and has earned his spot and has earned the playing time that he's getting. Shane O'Neill, like a decent center back, but you know, he's stepped up when the Sounders has needed him. Nico Benezé has played okay, but he comes in and just like becomes a legend because, first of all, his Twitter game is wonderful. Second of all, he loves anime like a bunch of other nerds. And third, he celebrates like I feel like I would if I was a professional soccer player, which is just like stupid.
But it's true. Schmetzer knows how to get the most out of these guys and his team. They know how to get the most out of these guys that otherwise they're probably looking for a place to land and feel comfortable and be able to play. Kellen Rowe, another guy that's had a great season that like has been kind of around the league. So pretty cool. Jimmy Madrona, man, he's the guy for the season for me. It's really pretty incredible. Anyway, this week, though, we wish we also got to play FCC Cincinnati 3 times a season. Sounders FC take on the FC Cincinnati of the West, Houston Dynamo. Oh my God, you are brilliant. That's great.
It's just, you look at the supporter shield standings right now, and Sounders are second only behind New England Revolution. And the way that this season has shaped up because of COVID and everything is that all of the teams, like for the most part, have to play all of the other teams in their same conference a bunch of times because they didn't want to do a bunch of travel and all of that, and because it's MLS, they don't pay for charter flights, so like your Sounders are getting kicked in the back by screaming babies and toddlers just like the rest of us, celebrities just like us. And so instead of having them travel on Delta or Spirit Airlines to Boston to go play New England, they have to play like Vancouver 3 times a year. Well, New England gets to play Cincinnati, who's the worst team in the league and already eliminated from the playoffs 3 times. So no wonder they're sitting ahead of the Sounders in the points, because if you also got to play Cincinnati 15 times in a season, you would also look great.
But I would like to make one point. The Sounders have a bit of a problem with not dominating everybody. They show up for the big games and oftentimes have troubles with the smaller teams. They really show up for the occasion and they play to the level of the opponent a lot, which is great when all the pressure is on, but maybe not as great when you're going head-to-head against
you know, FCC a couple times a season or whatever.
Yeah, or so, I mean, we talked about that. I think the last time that we recorded was, you know, a year ago.
I'm not even sure that was real. But like our other show that we're doing, Nerd Talk Plus, which I don't even know if it actually exists.
Yeah, well, not anywhere on the internet.
If you're part of the Google chat that makes this possible, then you're in. So congrats, Brandon. Hey, anyway, head up full90podcast.com. All our links are there, including to our OnlyFans. It doesn't exist. It's pretty, pretty fun.
Well, so, since they banned the sex stuff,
yeah, we're they brought out. It back.
Yeah,
they,
okay.
So it's just a lot of buttholes.
Yeah,
it's
great.
Just,
yeah.
Oh, speaking of which,
Beefa.
Speaking of which, Blue Origin, we're recording this right after Blue Origin just sent a 90-year-old man into space.
Not just any 90-year-old man. Bill Shatner.
Yeah. Slam poet Bill Shatner has been to space now. Also, he plays some character that was space-oriented or whatever. And a lot of people are excited to see that, myself included. I like the story behind
it.
I just think it's kind of weird that, like, we have, like, a huge infrastructure, transportation, and housing nightmare in Seattle, and, like, Bezos is, like, shooting celebrities into space instead of, like, helping solve the problem that he's not alone in it.
Yeah.
Horrible management from the city and the region has been largely to blame, but like he could help solve it by using these billions of dollars to invest into the infrastructure. But the Prime light rail would be pretty sweet if it went anywhere. But we're watching that, and you know, every time it's so easy to make the joke, and we both have made it already today, that you see the rocket take off, and it is definitely like a pretty good, like a pretty model wiener that's going up. You're like, hey, the length versus girth is pretty, like, good job, everybody. And I see that, and this time I was watching, and I was like, it would be really funny if, as a joke, somebody flew like a big butt over it. So the rocket.
It's the UFO from Independence Day, like, hovers over it as we.
Yeah, exactly. I just like, or like, you know, some boobs or a vagina or something, just goes flying over and then bonk. And like, I don't want anyone to die in the process.
No,
it would if someone could please animate that for me, I would very much get a kick out of it. You know, sometimes like people go back on like porn clips and they like color in the stuff. So it looks
Looks
like a banana or an ice cream cone or something like that. Like if you could just do that, if you could just animate in a like a big flying butt, that'd be really.
It should be Nico Benize doing his twerk.
Yeah, perfect. That's perfect.
And then we would officially be banned from all Sounders things forever.
So. Yeah. Well, we would just retweet it. We wouldn't.
Absolutely.
I don't think we would.
Absolutely.
We're not going to design it. No.
Yeah.
You keep making mention to this Beefa idea. It happened with the EA franchise is kicking around the idea, I think more of a threat than anything, to rename the FIFA franchise to something else. And on this other show, Nerd Talk Plus, that you can hear on the Odyssey app maybe.
Someday.
We were joking about how, if you go to 1077theend.com, it's actually, I think it's there. I'll post this week's too. Anyway, we were joking about what would you change it to? You know, they're in a dispute with FIFA over the naming rights and the money, and I think they're just kind of posturing to be like, yeah, well, we're going to change the name and if you don't give us a better deal. But we were laughing, and then the whole Bernandez thing came up, the Felix Hernandez as Bernandez trying to pitch an extra day, LOL. And we ended up at FIFA. And now I can't stop thinking of cows playing soccer and like pooping on the field. Have you ever seen a cow pee?
No. Do they pee? Or is it kind of like a bird thing where all of their poop and pee is kind of in the same, you know?
No. They are mammals. They do not have cloaca.
Okay.
That's why bird poop is so gross, because it could be like I can't say that.
Oh, okay. Does the wizard bird pee?
It teleports it.
Okay, that's right. It teleports it all out of its.
Stupid. So yeah, anyway, just a cow peeing is crazy. They pee like more water than you've ever drank in your life at once, and it's just horrifying. My cat pees like crazy too. You just like hear it in the other room. All of a sudden, you can hear the litter box getting annihilated by the stream of cat pee.
Is your cat a cow?
Yes.
Oh, that explains that yoga pose. The cat cow. It's one in the same.
He's a miniaturized one though, so he's still only 18 pounds.
You know who knows that cats and cows are the same? Catfisher.
That is a nod to a joke we made before we started recording, and I love it. So, Brandon, where the hell have you been?
I I don't know. I went to Hawaii. I've been reading.
How long were you in Hawaii for?
I was in Hawaii for like 2 weeks. It wasn't even. I mean, that's pretty long.
That is pretty long.
Yeah. Oh, not quite as long or girthy as a Blue Origin rocket, but it was pretty long.
Was your stay longer or girthier? Which was the?
Oh, good question. It was definitely longer. It was longer. It was the reverse chode.
Cool.
I went to Hawaii. I've been reading all of the books about becoming a parent, and just sitting in curling in the fetal position in the corner, worried and anxious about having to be responsible for human life, while my wife does all of the hard work and like grows a baby inside of her.
Yeah. It's, let me give you some advice that you didn't ask for. In the very first part of the baby being born, just bring your wife water all the time. That's like, because you'll feel so inept and it like gives you something to do.
Yeah.
Like, here's some water. And she's like, yes, I needed that because they're producing life-giving nutrients for the baby. And it's like very helpful.
Yeah, there's definitely something about the whole like she's doing everything because that's the way that biology works. And then I'm sitting here watching like, what can I do other than stress the out for a long time, you know, and it's great. It's awesome. Our baby boy is going to be
anxious,
so screwed. If he develops any of my traits, he'll be depressed and anxious.
This podcast brought to you by Citalopram.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, Wellbutrin nowadays.
All right. As for me, I've just been busy with this other show that we've been doing now for, I think we're 12 episodes into it.
Wow, and, really?
Yeah, man, we've made a lot. Yeah. And so the timing issue on this has been very difficult, but we're trying to be better about it. And yeah.
If you ever, like, and I'm sure you feel this as a parent, if you ever want to feel super guilty, it's do something as goofy as these podcasts that we record for 2 hours a week, and while your wife sits in the living room and like does chores and things like that, you're not just wife, your pregnant wife like grows a baby inside of her and also does the housework, where you're like, yeah, but I talked about a space wiener, so
a lot too.
And it's making other people money, hopefully.
Let me just point out, though, to be fair, you're actually shortchanging your job.
Yeah, oh, like, yeah.
This is time out of your work day that we're spending doing this. So
if you ever
want to
feel guilty, guilty, guilty.
This isn't like you're doing it after work hours and like limiting your wife's.
No, it's like 8:30 on a Wednesday right now. Like I should be. I'm getting emails like as we speak.
At least you've turned off the sound. I feel like every Zoom meeting I've been in ever, somebody is like in karate every week. I do it twice a week remotely. You hear like somebody's getting alerts and emails, and I'm like, have we not learned in a year and a half how to mute those notifications?
Yeah. No. Well, the last time that we recorded, the Sounders, a lot has happened. So it's been like 2 months, basically. The Sounders went to a cup final for the most important trophy in the Sounders history until it wasn't. And they lost it against some Mexican team.
Wait, was that the CONCACAF Cup?
That was the Cup of Campeones Cup or whatever. No, not the Campeones Cup, because that's the one that gets played between the Liga MX champion and the MLS champion. It was the I don't even remember. It does not matter.
It was the League Cup.
You League know the Cup, yeah.
The
yeah.
one where they designed the logo by cutting a soccer ball in half and inverting it.
Yeah,
so it was
exactly.
two half spheres on top of each other.
Yeah. I think they were tired of like all of those videos of players like breaking the trophies that they just won, you know? And so they were like, we're going to make this indestructible salad bowl on top of another salad bowl.
It's literally just that spray painted silver.
Yeah, exactly. That's, I mean, MLS, maybe.
At some point, just give somebody a hunk of metal that just has some carving into it or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
Glue a soccer ball to the top and be like, we actually keep the ball. Here's your...
Actually, that would be a way
inanimate
more...
carbon rod.
I bet you that kind of trophy, if like something super dumb like that, like a golden clog, for instance... Would instantly become like the most prized trophy in the trophy case. It's just like so silly... and it would become iconic, you know?
I gotta tell you, I watch a sport called Formula One, and they sell trophy sponsorships.
Yeah.
And so you'll get like a Heineken Star is the trophy, and it could not be more offensive,
right?
That they like these beautiful things that you're seeking to win
sold
like,
out the sport, right?
Yeah. It's like, yeah, it's like a Johnny Walker guy, and like I like Johnny Walker, don't get me wrong, but like you just put your life at risk for 2 hours driving as fast as you could, and they're like, brought to you by. It's just very tacky. You've
just won the MLS Cup. Your prize is a lifetime membership to Zulily.
Brought to you by Cup of Noodle. It's now in the shape of an instant ramen.
I mean, I take it. I take that. I take that.
Yeah, because you show that on your shelf, and people are like, what the hell is that KFC bucket? And you're like, well.
Well.
About that.
Yeah.
And no slight to these companies. I'm fully crapping on MLS and yeah. Formula One for it. It's ridiculous.
I've talked about a trophy. So I'm a big fan of cycling, and I've talked about a trophy that you can win if you win this race in Spain. And
Vuelta?
Yeah, the Vuelta. And like when you finish the race, you get to wear like a really goofy, like old timey. And I'm not talking old timey like the 20s. I'm talking old timey like the 1720s hat that's like really, it's just like a big, I can't think of the comedian, but he wears that big kind of clowny hat. It's very funny, but it's also like, you've just won this bike race. You've sold out your heart and soul for this thing. And here, we're going to put this goofy hat on you now.
These are the things I'm for. Like when F1 will be in Texas this weekend, yeah. The Pirelli post-race hat that they put on that says their place and is it just an advertisement for the tire sponsor,
sure,
again.
Yeah.
In Texas, they wear cowboy hats.
Awesome.
And like in Russia, they had, like not this time, but previous times, they've had the big fuzzy hat that you,
oh,
know,
yeah,
that,
yeah.
that you think of that's like a stereotype of that. And sure, that's like a cool place to put, I don't know, a twist on that, but also it can like get problem, like with all the rich old white guys running it, it can get problematic real fast.
you win the MLS Cup in Seattle and they just put like a flannel draped in Zulily on you.
They just hit you with a fish.
Yeah, perfect. they give you a low wage job in an Amazon warehouse.
No. You're not working from home.
Yeah, somebody's got to pay for this wiener rocket.
Congratulations, we're going to throw this golden fish into the Boeing engine and it's going to spray fish guts all over your butt. Like,
but don't worry, we'll send William Shatner to space.
That would be awesome. I actually want to see people get hit with the fish guts back to, I think my buddy Sean was partially involved in that. So
it's like, instead of the confetti cannons that they shoot on the sides of the stage, they're just feeding fish. Oh, you remember those fish tubes from a while ago? That like they were helping the fish go up the fish ladder. They'd like stick them in these tubes and these mnemonic tubes that would shoot them up into the lake.
Like the old bank tellers. Yeah.
So like instead of that, it's a fish tube, but it feeds it directly into a jet engine that sprays the guts into the air.
No. But you fill the fish full of confetti.
Oh, okay, of course.
So that way you get both. Yeah. The seagulls would be never happier.
All right, love it. Well, you already see, like, at the end of a Sounders game, if you stick around for long enough, like, in the press box, like, when I used to work there, if a game was at 7:30, you're there until like midnight, like just writing up all of the things that have to go to the league and doing all of the stuff that has to happen. When you look out, all of the fans are gone. Even the people who are cleaning are gone. It's just seagulls everywhere picking dry this stadium, and I bet you they're not getting paid for it. And it is crazy because there are so, I'm like, where are all of these seagulls during the game? Because they just descend like they... Okay, I got it. Out of another dimension, they're wizard birded in.
So say Steven Seagal brings them in. Like this.
Steven Seagal, a wizard bird.
That's my friend's dad. My friend's dad, his last name is Seagal.
And his name
and
is Steven?
His dad's name is Steven. Boy, what a terrible fate.
Can I, my brother, Steven, who is a great listener and supporter of this podcast, whenever
thanks,
we record, thanks, he's very clever. So first of all, Steven Seagal, wonderful. So if he ever buys a bird, that has to be the name.
That's his new name. I don't even care.
Second of all, he has a fish that I had to take care of for a little bit, and his fish's name, Steve Finn.
Oh, get out of here. You said he was clever.
I think that's clever. I love it.
face value, I hate it. Yeah. Ultimately, if I sat with it, I think I would also truly love it. So.
He one time thought his dog ate it. It was a whole thing.
F***ing Deb keeps dropping after the Turkish Grand Prix. She keeps saying, "When's the chicken Grand Prix?"
Oh.
She said it to me 3 times in one day because I just don't react to it. And like a person telling a joke that doesn't land and you try and get it in later.
Yeah.
A pro tip from a semi-professional, a pro tip for people who tell jokes in a conversation and no one reacts, do not try to do it again.
It's over.
It's over. Yeah. Just accept it and move on and start working on the next one. Save that joke for someone later on that you haven't talked to, because as soon as you try and get it in there again, people are going to be like, "Yeah, dude, we heard you and it was terrible and now we think you're terrible."
On that note, anybody? Bifa? Come on.
We like literally retold a joke without any of the punches.
All right, other things that have happened since the last time that we recorded. The Sounders beat the Timberwolves 6-2. Something that we definitely would have had fun with on this podcast, but it was ages ago, so forget it. Another thing that we would have had fun with, Nuhu windmill armed himself into earning a foul somehow, and that was amazing. And then I watched another match where
Describe that.
Oh, so he did get fouled, but he didn't go down, and he realized they weren't going to call it, and so he took 4 comically large steps. I mean, even for Nuhu, comically large steps, and swung his arms around forward like a windmill, and it was hilarious.
Everyone in that section now has windmill cancer, so that's
I forget. Thanks, Ted Cruz.
It's unfortunate, but at least Virginia Mason is the warm-up sponsor, so we have people standing by.
And think about all of the salves and things like that they can buy off of Zulily.
And then, most importantly, Brandon.
And most importantly, the thing that has happened since the last time that we recorded, and this only did just happen a few days ago, is that the Sounders played good, and they have clinched their 13th playoff berth in 10 seasons.
Batman plays good. The Sounders played well, okay?
Okay.
The 13th playoff berth in 10 seasons is unbelievable.
Yeah.
That's really cool, actually. It's pretty amazing to be this far along. They're first in the West at the time. I haven't looked to see Kansas City has played again since. But and they're looking real good without some big stars like the Christian Roldans and the Raul Ruiz Diaz's, which I'm very worried about all of a sudden. We'll get to that here in a second.
Yeah, it's crazy. The Sounders are on pace to have their best season ever, including better than their 2014 season where they won the Supporter Shield. Oof. And they are likely to come in second place in the Supporter Shield standings. So it's like the Sounders are playing better than they ever have and are still going to come up short in the trophy that, you know, Garth Lagerwey, our general manager, and others say is the most important thing that you can win in this league. And so it's a bummer, but it's also an incredible testament to the way that the Sounders have been playing this season.
Now, the team, as I just started mentioning a moment ago, played without a ton of key figures here. Yeah. And still, some first half performances that have looked killer in these last 2 weeks.
Yeah. Just coming off of the win against Vancouver, a 4-1 win against Vancouver, who's no slouch at this point, right?
Specifically since they changed managers, right, and they've been playing in some really great form recently. They've had a tough start to the season, but they're a formidable foe now that they can travel specifically and stay at home.
Well, and specifically, their defense has not been giving up a lot of goals. And the Sounders waltz in and score in the second minute with Shane O'Neill, and then Nico Benezet gets a goal. It's who are these guys that are scoring? Anyway, the lineup of players who missed the match against Vancouver, the Sounders players who missed the match, was basically starting 11 caliber on any other team in MLS. So here's all of the players who were missing. You could field a full team almost, except for a goalkeeper. Raul Ruiz Diaz, Jordan Morris, Nico Ladero, Christian Roldan, Brad Smith, Nuhu, Javier Arriaga, Jordy Delem, and Alex Roldan.
You could play 5 at the back with that. You have 3.
You could fill an entire lineup, and they've done that for 2 games straight and have won both of them. And this is what we saw at the beginning of the season, you know, missing a lot of those players going into the early season and going into Austin and winning 1-0 off of a Hail Mary pass from Raul Ruiz Diaz into the net. But it's this Sounders team is incredibly formidable. If you saw that the Sounders were missing that many players in what was supposed to be a rebuilding season, the way that it was talked about before the season started, and you saw them this late in the season and you're missing those players, you might think they're doing okay, they're going to be mid-table, they're going to be, you know, but they are absolutely dominating the Western Conference. They're at the top. They, even if Sporting Kansas City played today and won their game, the Sounders have enough of a buffer that even with a game in hand, they would still be in first place.
Wow, that's a 5-point lead or something like that?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Sounders on 57 points, I think Kansas City on 52.
This is wild. I mean, it's super cool to see. Again, massive props to Schmetzer and his team, because even losing Pineda to Atlanta, who I'm so excited for, that's so great. It's like cool to see that. Schmetzer, after that big goal, that bit of magic work by Joel Paulo, this brings a question to mind for me. Joel Paulo scores a big, you know, 50-yard run goal that he just looked beautiful. And for a guy who's slower than Rui Diaz, it was like pretty incredible to watch that happen. But Schmetzer says that's the goal of the season. Like right after we're interviewed at halftime, goal of the season, yeah, easily. You think back to that Jimmy Madronda blast golazo that he put in. I don't know why they call it a golazo. I don't speak that language and shouldn't use it. But which of those is the better for you? Schmetzer says it's the Joel Paulo. Which is the better goal for you, the Madranda or the Joel Paulo?
To be honest, I think you still also have to include the Joel Paulo half or like volley to himself and banger into the corner.
Yeah.
I think, in my opinion, it's still the Jimmy Madranda goal, because I've seen goals like the Joel Paulo goal in MLS before. There a couple of seasons ago, there was like, I think, Giovinco and who was it at the time? The guy that played for Montreal, whoever, yeah, their big guy at the time. Oh, Piatti. They both had goals like that where they just dribbled around the defense, got there. And both of those goals, those individual solo efforts and runs were, in my opinion, better than even Joao Paulo's goal was the other day. As great as that goal was, I still think Jimmy Madronda direct off of a corner, full volley off of the top bar down, like... You can't beat that. It's like when Patrick Ianni won goal of the season in the very first season in MLS for the Sounders, and it was that like flying scissor kick into the net. Like,
yeah,
it's just things like that that you don't see frequently enough, where it's like no defense, no goalkeeper could have done anything about it. Joao Paulo just diced up a bad team. Right, yeah. Like it was an amazing goal, and still I think.
But as a defensive midfielder, he did that.
Right,
so like there's even more weight put on it. But I'm with you that there's an explosive nature to that Wayne Rooney bicycle kick to the Patrick Ianni, that kind of three quarter volley there, and like or three quarter.
It's
bicycle.
Just out of nowhere. It's like just absolutely out of nowhere, and I think that there's something to say about the fact that the Sounders, because MLS is the way that MLS is, this probably won't happen, but the Sounders realistically have three out of the top five candidates for goal of the season.
So cool, man. It's so I'm actually curious from our listeners, if you could hit us up on our Twitter or whatever and tell us like maybe we'll run a poll or something like that if we remember, but like which is the goal of the two? We can add a third if you want, but which is the goal of the two? The Schmetzer, what he says, or what we think as fans as the goal of the season, whether it's Madronda or Joao Paulo?
What do you say? I mean, like, I obviously...
It's Madronda all day for me.
Yeah,
because
okay,
it's
exactly,
like,
okay.
Because, listen, the skill that Joao Paulo shows off there, being able to double nutmeg and, like, to just burn through people and get, like, you know, people are trying to pull him back and he just brushes them aside and goes, it's really... And to keep that head of steam for that long and to not be the fastest guy and be able to do that, all of those things add up to a beautiful goal that I would never say was not awesome. But I just, in my mind, I just immediately respond to you. If you just give me a 1 second to respond, what's your gut response? It's like, oh, Madronda.
There's no
doubt.
I think
it's like Raul Diaz's goal a couple of years ago where he kicked past it to himself over the guy's head and then
against
blasted
Atlanta.
It in.
Yeah,
yeah. Like I'll never be able to tell you who that was against or who else was involved in it or whatever, but I'll never forget the look of that move and how you're like, oh, this guy's the best guy on the field.
Right. Absolutely. I think that I think what we have to caveat is that we are not sliding Joao Paulo because it was an incredible goal. He's done it twice, or not done that type of goal, but he scored two basically goals of the season. Arguably, in my opinion, he is the best player on the Sounders right now and potentially one of the most important players to a team in Sounders history. And I think that he and not to slight Nico Ladero, who was instrumental in the two MLS Cup runs that the Sounders ended up winning, as well as the two that they ended up losing, right? But I think Joao Paulo, if you had him and Nico Ladero on the team, this team would be unstoppable. Unfortunately, they haven't been able to play together all that frequently because of Nico Ladero being out for like the crazy amounts of the season. But Joao Paulo, I think, if he had a few more goals or if he had a few more direct assists, he's always like the pass to the pass guy. You know what I mean? Like if he had a few more goals, a few more assists, he would be a shoe-in for MVP of the MLS MVP. I think for sure he's the MVP for the Sounders.
There's nothing quite like Joao Paulo looking super pissed all the time at everybody because he is like Steph might be the captain or assistant captain back there, but nobody is running the show more actively than Joao Paulo. He's involved in everything. He, like you said, he's the hockey assist guy, the assist on the assist, and everything comes through him to start. It's amazing.
I read something that he's the only player in the league who has something like 35 tackles and 10 assists. Like, wow. So he is doing 10 assists is a lot. Like there are just players in the league with more than him, right?
35 tackles seems like nothing. I feel like
I might have read it wrong.
Sure, whatever.
Yeah. But he has for the amount of assists that he has, he also has the most tackles. And so it just shows that both directions that he's playing in both directions. He's so vital to the way that the Sounders have played this season. We cannot say enough about the guy, except for the fact that Jimmy Madronda just happened to like absolutely thunder one into the goal, and you can't beat that.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, so you were talking about Nico Ladero just a minute ago, but you're saying that, you know, without Nico Ladero, and he's been hurt for most of the season, the rumors are that he's going to play. He got some surgery done in Chicago and that he's going to be back on the field. I don't know where you stand with this, Brandon. Do you think we'll actually see him before the playoffs?
I don't know. And based on the fact that the Sounders are able to, because I just know nothing about medicine. So I don't know if he'll be able to be back.
I'm talking about narrative. Like, you know, sure. they always give you this information and it has nothing to do. They're feeding us a line so that way we can talk about it. We can control what right. other teams are thinking and right. we can see what's going on. Yeah, have him out in practice, warming up, report on it. But the other teams aren't there to scout practice. So
I think that there's something to say about the fact that the Sounders have been playing well enough that you would not have to rush Nico back into the fold, right? Like the Sounders are playing so well that it's not like, oh man, we need our talisman Nico back on the field ASAP. Otherwise, we're not going to be able to win the rest of the games of the season or something like that, right? Like he has played so well for this team and has been so important to the team, but he's too important to rush back and have him be injured again and miss next season, right? Like you can't afford to lose him for that long. I think Jordan Morris is similar. They in a narrative way as well. Like Brian Schmetzer a couple weeks ago said something very short. Somebody asked about how's Jordan Morris doing. Brian said he's ready. That's it. So if you're the opposing team, you're thinking like, am I going to see Jordan Morris in the 18 against us next week? Yeah. Do I have to prepare for a guy that's just going to like run right by our guys? Right. Like,
is this a sleight of hand that we're just trying to confuse you? Or are they going to wait longer to make sure that he gets, you know, 6 weeks of training in before? Yeah. And who knows? Like, we need to actually go to practice to scoop this out to be able to actually see it. But
I think that we will see Jordan Morris before the end, before playoffs, because Same. because he's based on what Brian Schmetzer is saying, he's ready. He'll probably be in the 18, but I think that you want to integrate a guy like Jordan Morris back into the team, because he's been out the entire season. You want to integrate him back into the team, get him some playing time in the regular season before you just start throwing him out there in the playoffs, like must-win games.
Specifically, this is problematic because of national duty right now featuring Raul Ruiz Diaz, who was sent home early after what they're reporting. I saw, I'm not quoting it, you can go to Sound Art Hard to find out more, but they reported as a tear that he had. I haven't seen any specifics or follow-up since then, but his training camp was done and shipped off.
Yeah, so he apparently is injured in training with Peru, gets an MRI down wherever they were training, and I think what they're hoping is he was sent back to the U.S. to get another MRI for the Sounders team doctors to be able to do it. God, I hope it's not a tear. I hope, like, this guy who's having a career season is on pace to maybe have the Sounders' first 20-goal season in something like 7 years, to get cut short by something like a injury in national team training for a team that you're, like, hardly featuring for these days. So it's hard to have a player like that, one of the best players in the league, definitely one of the best players on the team, possibly be out for the most crucial point in the Sounder season.
I wish the U.S. men's national team had a Raul Ruiz Diaz problem where the best guy in the league is like, well, I mean, he might feature. I don't know.
Yeah.
Instead of having more of like where are the Roldans from?
El Salvador. El Salvador, yeah.
Instead of having an El Salvador problem where you're like, hey, Alex is available, let's go.
Yeah.
No offense to Alex or anything like that, but like you're not talking about the star of a league, you're talking about a solid guy on a team.
Right.
Kind of like what we started with here.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it's pretty wacky, Brandon. It's pretty wacky, and I'm going to go ahead and count Ruiz Diaz out for the season, so that way we're just switching to Big Willie time and just going for it, because
well, and then having a guy like Jordan Morris up there as well,
exactly.
If Big Will Bruin can play hold up and then get a really quick guy like Jordan Morris shooting past him, getting some dirty through balls from Jao Paulo, who, by the way, I feel like always looks like a tired old guy, Jao Paulo.
And then, like, he's 22.
he's 30, and I'm like 30, and I'm like, oh my god, do I look like that? I was like, I know when I get a little tired, I get some bags under my eyes. But Jao Paulo, you okay, man?
He's just so angry. It's like he's like a Sith Lord. It's coming through him. It's like, dude, you gotta not give in to your anger, bro.
Yeah.
Like, it helps you on the field. I get it, but it is sapping your energy.
Do we gotta get Jao Paulo on that Wellbutrin?
I mean, maybe.
Maybe. I don't know.
All right, let's take a look at this weekend. Let's focus here. Sounders on the road they'll be on the road for this match, coming home for the next, I believe, on the 23rd. This is a matchup Saturday night, 5:30 PNC Stadium against Houston Dynamo FC. Oh, boy. Okay, set us up here, Brandon. Give us a little history and what to expect here.
Yeah, look, Houston is... I say the FC Cincinnati of the Western Conference. They are not good this season. They haven't been eliminated mathematically from the playoffs, but you might as well write them off. They are in second to last place in the Western Conference, surrounded by the two other Texan teams. So FC Dallas, I think, is last place in the entire league, which is funny because that's usually a team that I think of being like always a contender, right? Always a contender for the Western Conference playoffs.
Yeah.
So Austin FC, expansion team, you know, don't necessarily expect them to do crazy well. So Austin FC is in...
I mean, when the Sounders were an expansion team.
When Atlanta United, the Sounders, but like all... Yeah, so sorry, Austin, but Cincinnati kind of did that. Orlando kind of did that. Just like really garbage seasons right off the bat.
Toronto's another one of these teams that's terrible.
Yeah, it's weird. So Houston, you know, I kind of always expect to be down there, and they are. surrounded by Austin and Dallas. They've won 5 games out of their 29 games this season. So not great. Not great, guys. Yeah. And
12 draws, 12 losses. That is that's a tough record.
Yeah, that's bad. And
that being said, what we said earlier about Sounders underperforming.
Yeah. So the last 3 meetings against Houston, not all this season. The Sounders have won all of them, and I'm pretty sure they've shut out Houston in all of them. So Houston has not scored against the Sounders in quite a while. Obviously, the Sounders are having a great scoring season, coming off of scoring 4 goals against Vancouver.
Hey, is that the one where Steph got hurt? Was it against? No, it was against San Jose.
That was San Jose. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Because it's always against San Jose when serious injuries happen, like or Ramon Torres tearing an ACL, and they have recently come off of a 4-goal game as well, losing to 4 goals from Kansas City. They're just not looking great. So if you want to know exactly how bad they are, I went to their website to see, like, what's up with Houston? What can I find out? And it's all about the Houston Dash, who are actually good in the Women's Soccer League. So
speaking of which, congratulations to OL Reign, who also secured a spot in the playoffs. They were just behind the Portland Thorns when I checked last time. I'll look into it now while you're
still,
talking.
They still are. Houston Dash in 3rd place.
Oh, great. Yeah, congratulations. That's so awesome, OL Reign. Especially since the NWSL has had a complicated season. Yeah, it's cool that they've been able to focus, and also congratulations to the Thorns, because their season is the impetus of all of this going wrong. And so I, as a human to human, I am happy that they're able to focus and stay on track. I would like to see OL Reign beat them, but still.
So I'm not one to look past a match, especially a match that the rest of the matches of the season with only 6 games remaining are important. One of them being against Houston, obviously, this weekend. I don't want to look past that because, as we said in the past, like these trap games are real for the Sounders, right? Like they are one to drop points against teams that they should not drop points against. Mm-hmm. Historically against Houston, Sounders haven't had that problem, but you know, there's a reason you play the game, right? Anything can happen. Now the next 2 matches after that are against the next 2 second place and 3rd place in the Western Conference. So,
I got it wrong because there's 3 matches in 8 days. This Saturday, then a Wednesday matchup in Colorado at altitude, and then a home match here against Sporting Kansas City. To step on your point, I'm sorry.
No, but Colorado and Kansas City are currently in 3rd and 2nd place, respectively.
Oh my God! And then the one after that is at LAFC 3 days after the Kansas City match. Yeah. That's crazy. So the Sounders have 4 games in 10 days.
Yeah, and it could not come at a worse time, right? Like we've just waxed poetic about how the Sounders are doing a lot with a little this season.
But
right?
Where's your depth beyond what you have right now?
Exactly. And so you're going to get a lot of these players back, right? We've talked about Jordan Morris. Raul Ruiz Diaz is a maybe. Nico Ladero is a maybe. Christian Roldan will come back. Brad Smith will come back. Nuhu, Arriaga, probably not Dillon, but Alex Roldan. So we're getting a lot of these players back. However, 4 games in 10 days that's more than they were playing when they were playing in that CONCACAF, whatever weird tournament that doesn't matter anymore. As much as I don't want to look past this Houston match, you kind of look at the rest of the season holistically, and the Sounders have their work cut out for them. But if they do well in the rest of these matches, they'll lock up a bye in the first round of the playoffs and set themselves up potentially, depending on results in the Eastern Conference with New England, who don't look like they're likely to drop points. But if they do, Sounders have a game in hand over New England right now. And if they win that game in hand, we'll only be 5 points behind the Supporters Shield contenders. So that's massive for the Sounders. And there's still potential for something crazy to happen this season and still pick up the Shield. That said, you got to win the games that you can win. Yeah. And one of those games is Houston. So do not look past that game. You have to win that game.
Great. That's great. Bruce Arena, man, like him or not, that guy takes a team and makes them win. And the type of winning that we were talking about earlier, where they win and win and win and win, not like they win against big matches, they like show up and get it done. That's really, he's another one. It's obvious that he's a coach that everyone should pay attention to, but like there's a few names in there. Old Vanny there in at LA Galaxy, who took Toronto to so much success. Brian Schmetzer, who's been incredible for Seattle, and I wish he would get the results all the time and not drop them to the easier opponents. But and then of course Bruce Arena.
Yeah.
Wow, it's gonna be an exciting end of the season, dude.
It's you know, something I was thinking about watching the Mariners play interesting baseball all the way up until, you know, the end of the season this season made me really appreciative of MLS, actually, because something that MLS does that I think that they should incorporate into every sport realistically is on the last day of the season, everybody plays at the same exact time.
I love it.
It's decision day in MLS, right? Because every goal, for the most part, unless you're Houston playing against Dallas on the last day of the season, every goal matters.
Losers.
Right? Like there was something like, I think a few years ago, the Sounders went from like fourth to second to third to second to first to second by the end of the day, right? Yeah. Like it was just because of goals scored in other games. And so sitting in that press box in Seattle with every game up on all of the different TVs in there it was such an incredible feeling. And I love even sitting at home being able to switch between games and watch just like how is this all going to end? So it's something that I think every sport should implement, this decision day, all teams playing at the same time. But it's this year's decision day could be, I mean, I'm hoping that it's not going to determine anything for the Sounders because they'll be high enough up that, you know, a Kansas City win or a Colorado win won't affect the Sounders being in first place. But could it affect the Sounders supporter shield chances?
Okay, Brandon, take a look into your Crystal Pepsi ball and its swirling effervescence and tell me what you see for this Saturday's match at Houston, 5:30 p.m., Sounders on the road against a team they've beaten three straight. What is the result you predict, my man?
So I'm taking a peek. Oh, what's that? Oh, I'm not looking in the Crystal Pepsi ball this week. Wizard Bird just came from the future and told me what the result is going to be.
Well, that seems unfair, but okay.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. I probably shouldn't even say it. But
but go ahead. You got it now.
Sounders are going to win 2-0, and there are going to be goals from João Paulo and Jimmy Madronda.
Well, what's that? The Wizard Bird has just visited me. No, wait, you're not the Wizard Bird?
No, it's Kevin Seagal. Or Kevin Seagal, Steven Seagal. Who's Kevin Seagal?
3-1 Sounders.
Yeah, okay.
All right, in case this podcast was just too long and you didn't listen, it's Too Long Didn't Listen.
All right, Too Long Didn't Listen.
Brandon's into the reverse chode.
I'm not.
I don't remember the context of that, but you said it at the beginning.
I did
so
say
I wrote it down.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right, fair. All right, Too Long Didn't Listen.
Get us some fish tubes, and we're gonna do some new type of confetti.
Fish confetti. All right, Too Long Didn't Listen.
Madronda is here to thunder.
Somebody paid Tropic Sounders.
Millions of Americans are looking for effective ways to manage their weight, but finding the right support can feel confusing and time-consuming. Orderly Meds offers a convenient online experience that connects you with licensed medical providers to explore GLP-1 treatment options from home. The process is simple. Complete your information online, connect with a provider, and learn what options may be right for you. No waiting rooms, no complicated scheduling, just a modern, streamlined experience designed around convenience. Visit orderlymeds.com/podcasts to learn more today. That's orderlymeds.com/podcasts. Again, orderlymeds.com/podcasts. One more time, orderlymeds.com/podcasts. Compounded medications are not FDA approved. Results may vary. Consult a licensed healthcare provider to determine if treatment is appropriate for you. Restrictions apply.